Hello and welcome to the debate right here at Press TV. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. The coalition of the willing seems to be a lot less willing this time around. This is the United States is failing to bring aboard most of its allies to support Washington in attacking Syria. The United Kingdom has said no, as has Germany, Canada, and NATO in supporting Washington. But the White House insists that it must go full speed ahead with what it calls punishing Bashar al-Assad. What is really behind the stringent line that the United States has taken against Syria?
Some experts argue that the U.S.'s possible military action in Syria seeks some strategic goals. They say a U.S. attack on Syria aims to help Israel by destroying or at least weakening the axis of resistance, including Iran, Syria, Lebanese, and Palestinian resistance groups. Over the past 7 years, Israel waged several wars to crush the resistance, but to no avail. The foreign-backed insurgency in the Arab country gave Israel and the U.S. what they needed to destroy one of the main components of the axis of resistance.
So the Israelis want all the regimes in the region to be weak, to be unstable, or to be puppets of Western powers, because that allows Israel to pursue its own expansionist aims throughout the region.
The U.S. claims of the use of chemical weapons come despite the fact that there is no concrete evidence tying Damascus to the attack. The lack of any evidence has even made Russian President Vladimir Putin call the claims utter nonsense.
Common sense speaks for itself. The Syrian government forces are advancing. In some regions, they have circled the rebels. Under these circumstances, giving a winning card to those who constantly call for a military intervention is utter nonsense.
Washington also says that its possible military action is based on responsibility to protect civilians. This has newly published secret CIA documents show that Washington was fully aware of the use of nerve agents by former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein against Iran, but it looked the other way. Neither those responsible for the attacks nor those who provided Saddam with chemical weapons ever stood trial.
A number of countries has decided to calm down the issue, settle the matter, say that we have taken new measures in order to avoid new events of that kind.
The irony is that in 2003, when Washington waged a war against Saddam Hussein, Iraq had no more chemical stockpiles because they have already been depleted. The U.S. has reportedly said that it plans a limited strike at a number of special Syrian sites. But reports say Washington is bent on destroying the Syrian air defenses and its missile capabilities in order to pave way for the insurgents on the ground to make advances and give Israel a respite that it won't be targeted by Syrian missiles. Some believe that apart from the Israelis, the key player in the U.S.'s new scenario is Saudi Arabia and the head of the kingdom's intelligence service, Prince Bandar bin Sultan. Bandar, known as Bandar Bush, is reportedly pushing Washington to go to a war to Syria. So it seems that the U.S., Saudi, and Israeli agendas coverage when it comes to Syria. However, it remains to be seen how a military intervention will play out in the coming days or weeks.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from the Executive Intelligence Review out of Baltimore, Mr. Lawrence Freeman, and political analyst out of Beirut, Mr. Jihad Morakande. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with us. Well, I'm going to start this off in Beirut with Mr. Morakande. As more and more of its very own allies question the U.S. is called to attack Syria, why do you think that Washington is being so adamant about attacking Syria?
As Secretary Kerry said yesterday, and President Obama repeated today, Syria has used chemical weapons, in their opinion, against civilians. And this is something which is totally unacceptable from the international point of view, since people have signed the agreement, the Geneva Agreement, about 100 years ago. So if a country uses or breaks international law or international agreements, specifically chemical weapons, just without any retaliation, then any country can do anything. So it is very important that a line is drawn that you cannot possibly use chemical weapons against civilians.
Okay.
Or in a war.
And do you think, Mr. Morakadi, that the United States should wait for the results of international observers from the United Nations in Syria? Do you think that Washington should wait for those results?
No, for two reasons. The first reason is that whatever the UN mission will find, the Americans have already got all the results, and they know that a chemical attack has taken place. And the United Nations is going to confirm that a chemical attack has taken place. So their report is not going to help one way or the other. The other reason why the U.S. should not wait is that the U.N. Report is going to take something like 2, 3, or 4 weeks. And it is not going to bring anything new to the table, and it's certainly not going to point fingers as to who did it, because it is outside their brief, outside their mandate.
Okay. All right, let me turn to...
And so there is no reason to wait.
Okay, let me turn to Mr. Freeman. Mr. Freeman, your response to what our guest in Beirut is saying, that there is no reason to wait, that the United States should attack, and I believe what he's saying is attack immediately.
There is actually no military objective to be accomplished by a U.S. strike at 75 or 100 selected targets in Syria. There actually has been no proof presented to the American people, no proof presented to the Congress. This is a violation of U.S. Constitution law to go to war without the approval of the Congress, and that was updated in 1973 in the War Powers Act. The United Nations has refused to sanction this. NATO has refused to sanction this. The Arab League has refused to sanction this, et cetera. And the Russians are very correctly aware, as we are here in the United States, this is an attack on a sovereign country that could escalate very quickly to a general war and therefore to nuclear war. And Mr. LaRouche, the head of ER magazine, has made very clear that any attempt for the U.S. military involvement in Syria is a step moving us closer towards nuclear war, which is an annihilation war if it takes place. So Obama is behaving completely out of control. He's not functioning as the President of the United States. And in fact, he may be setting himself up for early impeachment if he continues his policy, because it would violate the U.S. law.
Well, Mr. Morakadi, let's look.
I don't agree.
Go ahead. You wanted to comment?
Yes, I don't agree, because if you heard the speech of President Obama half an hour ago, he was very clear. He said, I have the power to do it, to order the strikes outside Congress. However, he said, he is going to wait for Congress to take a decision on this. So, contrary to what the gentleman has said, President Obama is going to go to Congress. He just said it half an hour ago.
No, but the point is he does not. There is no stipulation in U.S. constitutional law for this president to launch a military campaign. He was in violation of the law when he overthrew the government of Libya. However, he has been so isolated in the world and by very aggressive, vigorous congressional action. Over 150 congressmen, bipartisan, have opposed this war without discussion and debate, that yes, out of weakness, President Obama has been forced to now have a discussion from a Congress, which is good. But he's still committed to the policy. The policy has no defense in it, and therefore there will be increased measures taken by the U.S. and the U.S. institutions to rope Obama in, to pull him back. And if he continues in this direction, then we'll see we're getting closer to the question of impeachment, which is what is necessary if we're going to prevent ourselves from going into a larger war in the Middle East.
Well, Mr. Morakadi, who would you say is the biggest recipient of this war? If the United States does go into Syria, who profits the most? Who does it benefit the most?
Well, first of all, nobody is talking about the United States going into Syria.
When I say going in, I mean sending missiles. I mean getting more actively involved in Syria.
Yes. If the United States was to strike Syria in a limited way, as President Obama has said time and again, the question who will benefit, it is certainly not President Bashar al-Assad nor his regime. Is the opposition going to benefit? I don't know, but at least it will level the playing field by giving the opposition a fighting chance that I never had before when President Assad was using his aeroplanes and his missiles. Now, if he has, if his military capacity is slightly degraded, and we don't know to what extent it will be degraded, it will certainly help the opposition in a...
Okay, what about that, Mr. Freeman? Who do you think benefits the most if the United States gets more involved in the Syrian situation?
We have to look to the author of the policy. What we've been told from sources here, which I know to be true, is you have people like Samantha Powers, who's the new UN ambassador, and Susan Rice, the national security advisor. These individuals and others are followers of what's called responsibility to protect, otherwise known as regime change policy. And this was first put forward by Tony Blair in the late 1990s. And this is a policy not of the British people, but it is a policy of the elites of the Brits, including the royal family, that we have the right to move in and take out current governments, destabilize countries, and reduce their population, actually kill off a number of people and cause chaos and destruction, so that this financial system, which is run out of the city of London and Wall Street, can try to maintain its power. Powers and Rice are very much behind these attacks on Syria. They benefit no one but this policy of war, destruction, and chaos, and population reduction. And that is, unfortunately, Obama is behaving as a tool, as a puppet of this policy. He's not behaving as an American with an American policy. He's not protecting the interest of America. There's no national security of the United States that's at stake in Syria. And there's still is no proof yet of chemical weapons being used by the Syrian government. So we would be making one of the greatest mistakes following what we did in the Iraq war, where we destroyed that country as well, if we went ahead with this policy. And it would be involvement in Syria.
The two situations are not the same.
Because any military analyst knows that once you enter this kind of an attack, you do not know the outcome. You do not know the consequences. Wars take on their own behavior. And the Russians have made very clear that an attack on Syria is an attack on their sovereignty, which they will defend with nuclear weapons if it comes to that.
So this is not true.
This is very dangerous situation.
This is not true.
And patriotic people in this country and around the world have appropriately taken action to force Obama to step back. We don't know if we've changed his policy, but at least we've forced him to listen to the Congress.
Okay, Mr. Mercado, it seems that you wanted to comment. Go ahead.
Yes, a couple of things. First of all, it seems the gentleman reminds me of Lyndon LaRouche in the United States, who sees a general, yes, you are,
yes.
Part of the same kind of ideas. When he says that the war will, first of all, I just wanted to say that when he said that Russia said that an attack against Syria is like an attack against them, it is totally incorrect, because Foreign Minister Lavrov was very clear when he said that Russia will not react. That's number one. Number two, when you are comparing war in Syria and war in Iraq, the two are totally different proposition. In Iraq, there was, of course, a regime change. In Syria, there is no regime change, because had the Americans wanted to have a regime change, they would have helped the opposition a long time ago. The Americans are not intervening in a very major way. They are letting Bashar al-Assad and this is opposition and all the people who are opposed to Bashar do not understand how the United States can sit there and watch Bashar using his planes and bombing the opposition and bombing his own cities, and the United States is not doing anything about it, and the international community is not doing anything about it.
So you're saying, Mr. Mercati, that the United States does not, or they did not, want regime change in Syria?
Of course not. Had they wanted to do regime change, they would have done an Iraqi project. Here, the regime change could have happened, yet they saw Bashar using all his military assets, weapons of mass destruction, I mean the chemicals, using his planes, using rockets, using tanks and what have you, and the opposition has nothing to respond with, and the American president is still dithering whether he should send weapons to the opposition or not. This is, and they want regime change. Okay. If anything, they want Bashar to win the war.
Okay, very interesting perspective. Mr. Freeman, go ahead, your take.
Well, I think that we should be a little bit more frank and honest about what's going on. The opposition, is a large portion of it, is made up of al-Qaeda. You may have heard of them. Al-Qaeda, who are being supported by Saudi Arabia. And you see that Prince Bandar, who was an active role in supporting the bombing in the United States in 9/11 in 2001 with the Bush and Cheney administration, Prince Bandar now is playing another active role in funding operations in support of the Syrian opposition against the government, as well as trying to wine and dine and influence congressmen and senators in the United States. So there's not a legitimate opposition. And the policy is regime change. We're just doing it in a different way because the policy in Libya was so catastrophic when we overthrew a government and killed the president and unleashed the al-Qaeda network all across North Africa, which led to the toppling of Mali and incidents in Algeria. So the policy is regime change, maybe by a different means and maybe by a slower method. But the fact of the matter is there's no military objective in firing and taking out installations in Syria except to further weaken the government and destabilize the country. And Obama is being held back by the fact there is an opposition globally and in the United States against going to nuclear war and against violating international law and U.S. constitutional law.
Okay.
So we still have a country and we still have law and we still have organizations like mine that are stopping Obama. But his policy is the one that I've advocated, which is war and escalation of war in the Middle East.
Mr. Markadi had talked earlier about possible beneficiaries of this situation. Let's look at the role of Saudi Arabia, as Mr. Freeman has just pointed out. Does Saudi Arabia benefit from this situation that's taking place in Syria? And if it leads to regime change, tell me, do you think that the Saudis or the Saudi government would benefit from it?
To say that Saudi government is going to benefit from it is to say that if the military assets of the military capability of the Syrian regime is degraded, then the opposition is going to win the war, which is not correct at all. So no, they will not benefit. The only thing that the only people who will benefit are those pushing for the Geneva II conference. And right now, when we are talking about regime change, I just wanted to point out that it was both Russia and America who, at the Geneva conference in June last year, agreed to have a change in the regime and ask President Bashar al-Assad to hand over power to a coalition government. So who wants a regime change? Both Russia and America.
No, that's not accurate.
So we have to be clear about this.
It's not accurate. Obama has said from the beginning, from the very beginning, and he's made this point of his policy, which is why you can't solve the problem in Syria with Obama. He has said that any future government in Syria must not include Assad as the leader. So when you say that as a precondition,
correct?
What do you say? No, can I finish? What are you
this
saying?
This is correct. The Russians said so as well.
Okay. No, the Russians did not. The Russians, in their agreement, even the last agreement they had with Kerry to have a conference which was scuttled, they have always said that you cannot have as a precondition the removal of Assad. And the United States has always said...
I am sorry, I am terribly sorry. In Geneva, a year ago, the Russians said that President Bashar al-Assad should hand over power to a new government made out of both regime and opposition. So when they say that President Bashar al-Assad and his people should hand over to a new government, what does this mean?
Let me jump in here because we're just about out of time. I want to look at what the Russians are saying right now. And we know that President Vladimir Putin, what he is saying, Mr. Freeman, to the United States, that they should not get involved in Syria any more than they already are. And they must, if they want to try to attack Syria, that they should prove that the Assad regime used chemical weapons. And if they cannot prove it, then it is an insult to their partners. Your take on what President Putin is saying?
Well, that's a fair comment. I mean, where is the proof? Where is the proof? You can't keep asserting, I've said it, therefore it is true. That's like the Roman Emperor Nero and other dictators. We can't accept what Obama says or Vice President Biden says. We have to see the proof. And everybody knows, without being an academic, that the real policy underlying this is there is an alliance between the Obama administration, as there was with the Bush administration, and the Saudis, through Prince Bandar, and the British, to overthrow these countries in the Middle East and in the Gulf. And they've done it to a number of countries, and they want to continue that policy in Syria, which will spread to Lebanon and will spread to other countries as well. Rather than a policy of development, rather than a policy of developing energy for these countries, food, water, we don't do that. We overthrow countries, and that's Obama's policy, and that's what's got to be stopped before the world gets dangerously.
Okay, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Freeman, but we're out of time. I appreciate both of you being with us. From Executive Intelligence Review, Mr. Lawrence Freeman out of Baltimore, Maryland, and political analyst out of Beirut, Lebanon, Mr. Jihad Morkadi. And thank you, viewers, also for being with us. Hopefully you will join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashemi for The Debate, signing out right here in Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us.